We turn in the Word of God tonight to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we won't read the entire chapter. Let's read tonight just the first 20 verses of the chapter. And our focus tonight is on verse 19. This is the Word of God in Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. Call your attention tonight to verse 19 of Luke 2, where we read, But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening we take a break from our series on the attributes of God in order to consider a text that deals directly with the Christmas message of the birth of Jesus Christ. The Lord willing, in a few weeks, at the beginning of January, we'll take up that series on God's attributes again, and hopefully by the end of February, we'll come to a conclusion in that series. So tonight and in the next couple of weeks, in light of Christmas and installation, we take a break from that series. Purpose of the Word of God this evening is to help us in this coming week, as we anticipate coming together next week, Sunday morning, to remember the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This week that stands before us is filled with many things. It's a week that can be filled with busyness. All of the children, at least those who go to Heritage, still have a full week of school this week. And because it is Christmas on Sunday, it's likely the case that possibly this weekend there are parties to go to and get-togethers to be had. And quite simply, there's just a lot of things going on in this week. It can be a week filled with busyness. Right along with that, it can be a week filled with some anxiety, I think especially of the mothers and the women of the congregation who have largely the responsibility to prepare for those get-togethers and to host the parties that are had. And oftentimes with that can come a certain amount of stress and anxiety. And along with that, it can be a week of distraction. I think especially of the fact that if there are gifts involved for you as families and as children, nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, but for the children and the young people and for really all of us in the receiving and also the giving of those gifts, it can be a distraction for us in this week to come as we think about the true meaning and significance of Christmas. It's a week that's filled, as I said, with many different things. And as we navigate through this week as God's people, we hear the Word of God to us tonight from Luke 2, verse 19. And the Word of God to us tonight is that we are to follow the example of the mother of Jesus, Mary, who at the time of Jesus' birth, we read in the text, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's what we do in this week and next week Sunday as we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus. May the Holy Spirit so work so that we are led to keep the good news of the birth of Jesus in our hearts and to keep that gospel of Jesus' birth by being those who ponder these very truths in our hearts. And in the way of doing that, it keeps us in our hearts and in our minds in the right place in the midst of everything that takes place in this week that leads up to Christmas. I call your attention tonight to pondering the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's consider the object of that activity of keeping and pondering first, what the text identifies as all these things. Let's consider in the second place the activity. What was it that Mary actually did? And the text says that she kept them and she pondered them in her heart. And then let's see what the fruit of that briefly is for the child of God. Pondering the birth of Jesus, the object, the activity, and the fruit. We begin in the sermon by explaining the words in verse 19, all these things. We cannot go directly to the idea of Mary keeping them and pondering them without knowing, first of all, what it is that she is keeping and pondering in her heart. And the text identifies what the object of that activity is when it says that she did that with all these things. When we consider those words, all these things in the text, it leads us to consider the context in which we find these words. In a certain sense, you can say that those things with the passage speaks of, in its broadest context, is all of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. That's the big context of Luke 2, verse 19. Obviously, we know Luke 2 very, very well. It's the passage in the New Testament Scriptures that in the fullest way describes for us the birth of Jesus. And when we read in verse 19 that Mary kept and pondered all these things, you can, in a certain sense, see that from the big picture point of view, everything surrounding the birth of Jesus. Everything from the announcement of that birth by the angel months ago to the present circumstances of Caesar Augustus's decree that all the world should be taxed that led them to Bethlehem to now where she is at after the actual birth of Jesus. She kept and pondered all of it in her heart. That's true, and that's implied in what we read in the passage, all these things. But what we need to do is see that this particular verse regarding what Mary did is found in a narrower context. The broadest context is the birth of Jesus Christ and all of the events that surround it. But there is a narrower context in which we find this verse. And it's part of what we find in the passage with respect to the shepherds. Verse 19 is very much connected with verse 18. And they heard it and wondered, but Mary kept all these things. There's a contrast there that we'll come back to later in the sermon. And verses 18 and 19 are directly related to verse 17. And what verse 17 says is that the shepherds took what they heard and what they saw, and they voiced it abroad. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then verses 18 and 19, some wondered at it, but Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. The all these things of verse 19 are especially focusing on the words of the shepherds as they voiced abroad what they saw and what they heard on that night of Jesus' birth. And so that leads us to consider what it was that the shepherds experienced the night of the birth of Jesus. And we know this history very well. You children who are listening to the sermon tonight know the history of Jesus' birth and know the history of the shepherds. Those shepherds were taking care of their flocks in the hill country of Judea on the night that Jesus was born. And against the dark night sky, the angel of the Lord appeared to those shepherds, and that angel was the announcer of the gospel of Jesus' birth. These shepherds were the recipients first of the good news that the Messiah had been born. For unto you in the city of David is Christ the Lord born. And this is the sign of His birth. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then, as though that wasn't amazing enough, that one angel appears against the dark sky and announces the birth of Jesus. That's followed with a whole host of angels that fill the night sky and sing praises to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The shepherds heard the announcement of the birth of Jesus, and they, by faith, believed the word that they heard. And they showed that by what they did. Hearing that word, they immediately went to Bethlehem. And per the announcement of the angel himself, they found the babe and the sign that it was him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And just like us, when we hear something that means so much to us and that is astounding in nature, you don't keep that to yourself. And these angels didn't keep to themselves what they saw and heard that night. And that's what we read in verse 17, as I pointed out a moment ago. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. But Mary kept all these things, especially the things of the shepherds, and pondered them in her heart. By considering the context, my point with this is that the all these things focuses especially on what the shepherds saw and what the shepherds heard. This wasn't new to Mary, of course. Mary knew who Christ was. Mary understood what Christ came to do. But when Mary and Joseph and Jesus were visited by the shepherds and heard what they saw and heard, it served the purpose of confirming the truth that had first been revealed to her. And she hears those things, and we read in the text that she keeps them and ponders them in her heart. What are they? We can make a few points in that respect. What was it that she kept and pondered in her heart? In the first place, it was the identity of the child born that day. Who Christ was. The angel of the Lord told the shepherds that this is who the one born that day was. He was, as verse 11 says, Christ the Lord. She pondered and kept in her heart that He was the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. He was the one that was promised to the Old Testament church for hundreds of years. He was to be the King who would sit on God's throne, having been born in the city of David. He was Lord as well, the text says. As the one who was King, Messiah, He was the ruler over all things and all persons. That babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes was Christ the Lord. She pondered His identity as Christ the Lord. She pondered in her heart, in the second place we can say, what His work was. The announcement to the shepherds was the fact that this one born was Christ the Lord who was Savior. That identifies His work. Jesus Christ came to save. To save from the most terrible predicament that one could be in. Nothing of this earth, but entirely the spiritual bondage and slavery to sin, to guilt, and what results from that, which is eternal death. He was Savior from sin and guilt. And who would accomplish that salvation, which began in His birth and would culminate in His death and in His resurrection. Certainly when Mary heard the word of the shepherds that the angel announced that He was Christ the Lord who was Savior, she would call to mind the announcement concerning His birth and the revelation of what His name would be. Joseph and Mary did not determine His name. God gave Him His name. His name was Jesus, because He shall save His people from their sins. In the third place, she kept and pondered in her heart joy. The message of the angel was, I bring unto you glad tidings, as we read in verse 10, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. The joy that comes as a fruit of the Christ child being born who was the Savior. Mary had that joy in her heart, and she was pondering and keeping that joy as it comes from the birth of Jesus in her heart. That's where the joy comes from in one's life. Her outward circumstances were not very pleasant at this time. Just had a child. In the same way that mothers have children today, but without the modern conveniences that we have today in having children. Not to diminish in any way the difficulty of bearing children today, but understanding the day and age in which Mary lived. Having that child after the long journey away from her home, from Nazareth, going down to Bethlehem. At this time, still no room for them in the end. It's not as though her outward circumstances would have led her to be joyful, but she was pondering and keeping in her heart joy because the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, Savior, is our joy. It was Mary's joy at that time. She pondered and kept in her heart in the fourth place as we try to summarize the message of the shepherds' glory. The glory that was revealed in the announcement of the host of angels as they sung praises to God. This is glory. Glory to God. Glory to God because of His faithfulness to the promise of the church. that he would send the Messiah. Glory to God because of the one who was born, the Word become flesh. Glory to God because of what he would do as the Savior from sin. All of the things revolving around the birth of Jesus, as we see in that birth, is humility, which is to say the love of God in salvation serves the purpose of the glory of God on high. She kept and she pondered the glory of God, which she heard that the angels sung in the heavens. And last, we can say, pointing to the main word along with that word of glory in verse 14, peace. This one who was born, Jesus Christ, was the Prince of Peace. He was the great peace giver. For in this Christ, the great fruit of his work is peace. Not first of all, peace among men, peace among nations. There is no such true peace among men apart from Christ, but it is a peace that we have with God. That this Christ is the mediator between God and men. And this Christ destroys and obliterates by his work, chiefly on the cross, the barrier of sin and guilt that stands between us and God and brings us, reconciles us to God. All of those things, as they have their beginning in Jesus' birth, who he was, Christ the Lord, what he would do, save. The fruit of that, joy, glory to God, peace. Mary keeps, we read in the text, and ponders that in her heart. We know, beloved, as we sit here tonight, a week before Christmas, what Christmas is all about. You know everything I just said in the last 10 minutes, describing briefly and summarizing some of the main points of the words that the shepherds proclaim at this time of the year. Nothing wrong with the giving and receiving of gifts. In our freedom as Christians, we can do that. But we do that understanding that that's not what Christmas is about. Children, you need to know that. You need to hear that. Hear that from me tonight as the Word is brought. Hear that from your parents in this week to come. It's striking how Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is that which reveals, in a certain sense, what the essence of this world in which we live is about. At no time of the year is the materialism, the worldliness, the greed, the covetousness, more powerfully manifested than during the Christmas season. And all of that, that greed, covetousness, materialism serves the purpose also of brooding in people's hearts discontentment and all of the other types of sins that go along with that. Isn't that striking that the birth of our Savior is what goes hand in hand in manifesting the terrible materialism and worldliness of this age in which we live. And we would be ignorant if we thought that we were not affected by that materialism and worldliness at this time of the year. And it's all the more pronounced in the day and age in which we live. Of course, this is always in our hearts, but we feed our hearts sometimes by our outward actions. And before, in order to engage in these things, you'd actually have to go to the store and you'd have to see all of the things that you can buy or receive or that you want to give or that you want to receive. Now you can put yourself in front of an iPad and go on Amazon and you can have everything open before you and you can spend countless amount of time being consumed with the giving and the receiving of gifts. That's not what Christmas is about. That's another thing that takes away from these things in the text. It's also not about, as we know, the time off from school and the time off from work. That sometimes can be the greatest joy at this time of the year. Older students, really all students, going through the school year and becomes difficult. The newness of going to school wears off, and the greatest joy is the fact that we don't have to go to school for a week. Or as a father who is working, the greatest part of this time of the year is the fact that we don't have to go to work. And maybe that's a cause for disappointment this year, that Christmas is on Sunday, so maybe the time off isn't as much as it normally is if it's on a Thursday and you get a couple days off instead of just one day off. Let that not be the greatest source of joy and what this season is all about. And I can even say that it's not about the get-togethers that we have as families. Nothing wrong with this. In fact, they're beautiful. It's wonderful that we have time to get together in fellowship as families and as friends and remember the birth of our Savior. But I bring this up because that's often what goes hand in hand in our thoughts with the previous 2 points that I made. We have those get-togethers because we don't have to go to work, and we have those get-togethers at which often there is the giving and receiving of gifts, so that when we think about our get-togethers, the focus, where our hearts are, can be misguided sometimes on the things of this earth rather than the things of Christmas. All of these comments are not meant to condemn the giving of gifts or the enjoying of time off or the getting together with friends and family. Of course not. That's not my point. The point is this. Let's remember, in the midst of those things as we engage in them, as we rightfully do, let's remember in the midst of that, that that's not what Christmas is all about. That's not what we keep and ponder in our hearts. What we keep and what we ponder in our hearts are these things, the gospel of Jesus' birth. That's what Mary did as we read it in the text. She kept and she pondered all these things in her heart. Verse 19, as I said in the beginning of the sermon, is set forth in contrast to verse 18. Notice that. Verse 17, the shepherds voiced these things abroad. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then this significant word, but Mary kept and pondered them in her heart. There's a contrast being drawn between what these others in Bethlehem and around Bethlehem did when they heard the news of the angels and what Mary did in keeping them and pondering them in her heart. And ultimately, the contrast is between faith and unbelief. Mary, in faith, kept and pondered these things in her hearts, and these others who wondered at it did not in faith, but we can say in unbelief, did those very things. When we read in verse 18 that they wondered at those things, that literally means that they were amazed at those things. But because of the contrast, that's not something that ultimately we say is positive. There was an outward wondering and amazement at what they heard from the shepherds. That's natural. You hear the shepherds. This is what we saw. This is what we heard. Angels in the heavens singing praises to God, the announcement that the Christ had been born, and there was a certain wondering and amazement at what they heard. But then it's likely that they realized the nature of the birth of Christ. His lowly birth, the humility in which He was born, the fact that this one, from all outward purposes, did not show Himself to be the Savior that they were looking for, as we know at this time, which was a Savior from the things of this earth. And so it was an outward wondering and amazement. But nowhere do we read that the fruit of their wondering was the fruit of the shepherds and the fruit of Mary, which was that in their hearing these things by faith, they believed them, and believed them by worshiping and glorifying God. It was an outward amazement that did not lead to going to the Christ child as the shepherds did, and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In contrast to that, we read in the text that this is what Mary did. She kept in faith and pondered in faith all these things in her heart. When we read in the text that Mary kept and pondered all these things in her heart, as we read it in the English, it poses those two verbs as parallel to each other. Notice that. Mary kept all these things and pondered them. That's not exactly the way that it's found in the original Greek. The better way to translate it according to the original would be this way: but Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the idea is that the pondering is that which describes the keeping. She kept all these things in her heart, and she did that by, we can say, pondering all these things in her heart. And so the main idea is that she kept them, and the way in which she kept them was by pondering them in her heart. The first thing that she did was kept these things. Literally, that refers to the fact that she preserved these things. She didn't, to put it negatively, let these things go out of her heart. This word is used in another place in the New Testament, Mark chapter 6, verse 20, in a very physical and literal sense. This is the history of Herod and John the Baptist, where we read, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him." That word "observed" is the same word as "kept" in our text. And the idea is that Herod wanted to make sure that he didn't let John the Baptist go. And he did that, as we know, by putting him into prison. That was the way in which he observed him and kept him and preserved him from going out from his midst. What Herod did physically with John the Baptist, which is easy to do, so to speak, Mary did spiritually and intellectually with the things of Jesus' birth. She kept them in her heart. She preserved them from letting them go. The necessity of doing that is sin, first of all. Sin is what still clings to us by our flesh, and sin has the goal of pushing out of our minds and hearts the things of God, and specifically at this time of the year, what matters when it comes to the message of Christmas. And to go back to all of the examples that I used earlier in the sermon in the introduction, there are so many things at this time of the year that, practically speaking, can push out of our hearts what Christmas is all about in remembering the birth of Jesus. And when you have all of those things coupled with our sinful flesh, the fruit of it is that we can go through this time of the year without truly keeping close to our hearts the glorious birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. When we have so much going on at this time of the year, when we have the distraction of the giving and receiving of gifts, when we have the time to engage in other things because of time off, when we have the stress of getting ready for get-togethers and parties, all of that, along with our sinful flesh, can push it out of our hearts. And so we need to actively, in faith in this week, keep these things in our hearts. And we do that, as the text says, by pondering them. Pondering them literally means to bring together. Another example of that word being used is found in Acts 4, verse 15. This is the leaders of the Jews figuring out what to do with Peter and John after they continually proclaimed the gospel after Pentecost. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. That word conferred is the same word as pondered in our text. They got together and they thought deeply and they talked with each other about what to do with Peter and John after Pentecost and after they were preaching the gospel. Mary, in her heart, conferred, so to speak. She didn't talk with others, but the idea is that she, in her heart, was bringing together all of the things that she heard and experienced concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. She pondered them. She thought deeply about them. To use a word that we're familiar with from the Scriptures, she meditated upon these things. To use the language of Psalm 119, she hid in her heart the things of the birth of Jesus. She ruminated over all of the events surrounding the birth of Christ. It wasn't you hear about what the shepherds heard and saw, goes into the mind real quick, oh, that's quite nice to hear those things, and then you go on in your life. No, it was, you hear those things of the shepherds. She thinks about all of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, and she lets that sink in to the depth of her heart and soul. She meditated and thought deeply about the birth of Jesus. And remember the connection between the keeping and the pondering. The pondering, this deep thought, this meditative contemplation is what the Spirit works through so that we keep in our hearts the things of the birth of Christ. We need to do that in this week. We need to ponder personally, in faith, the events of the incarnation and the birth of Christ. We can be thankful for what God gives us that encourages and leads us in this pondering of the birth of Jesus. One of them is worship and hearing the gospel proclaimed. It doesn't apply this year because Christmas is on Sunday, but there's a whole lot of wisdom in coming together on Christmas for worship. We come together Christmas morning in order to hear the gospel proclaimed so that each one of us, as we sit in the pew, listening to a word concerning the birth of Jesus, letting it sink into the depth of our hearts and souls, pondering His birth. And God uses that preaching of His word and the worship of His name on a Christmas day to keep in the forefront of our minds and hearts what Christmas is about. Not all the other things, but all these things, as the text says. There are other things that you can do and I can do in this week to guide us in the pondering of the birth of Jesus. One of them is prayer, of course. Praying specifically about the birth of Jesus. Glorifying our God for the wonder that the incarnation is, exalting Him as the God with whom all things are possible, so that from a virgin, by the power of the Spirit, the Christ child is conceived and born, praising God in prayer for the fruit of this, which is our salvation through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Deep and careful prayer leads to the pondering of these things, and along with that, the prayer for wisdom to think back to last week's Sunday night sermon on the attributes of God. The wisdom to be able to navigate this week in a spiritually minded way. The wisdom to be able to engage in the giving and receiving of gifts, to have the parties, to enjoy the time off in such a way that we keep our hearts and our souls focused on the birth of our Savior. That takes wisdom. Wisdom that God gives, as we heard last week, through prayer. Along with that, God uses the reading of His Word to lead us to ponder and think deeply about the things of Jesus' birth. Read privately the history of the birth of Jesus. Read it very slowly. It's one of the amazing things about Scripture. When you read it slowly, when you read it carefully, although all of us here have read Luke 2 how many times in our life? Hundreds of times, probably, we've read through Luke 2. But you can sit down and you can read it very carefully, very slowly, and the Spirit opens up new truths regarding the birth of Jesus. Do that to encourage the pondering, which is how we keep in our hearts these things. Along with that, find something to read in this week related specifically to the birth of Jesus. Find Upon This Rock, which is an RFPA publication that deals with the history of birth, the birth of Christ and the life of Jesus. A nice, simple, easy-to-read explanation of the history that draws out nice applications of this history for us. Find some old sermons, for example, of Reverend Hoeksema as they're printed, and in which he sets forth the message of Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus. Find something else. Find something that you can read in this week that encourages the thinking deeply about what the birth of Jesus means. And you children, you're going to help us in this next week, Sunday morning. You're going to help all of us as a congregation after worship next week, Sunday morning, to ponder in our hearts the birth of Jesus. You're going to do that by means of the program that you'll give to us as a congregation and your family. Because when we hear songs sung about the birth of Jesus, we together glorify God in that. That's the main objective. But there's a fruit of that that leads us to think deeply about the birth of Christ. And in that, we keep in our hearts these things. There is a fruit to doing this. The fruit is the strengthening of our faith and the receiving by the work of the Holy Spirit the blessings that are found in this Christ Jesus who is Savior. When Mary kept in her heart and pondered in her heart all of the things of Jesus' birth, she did that in faith. She believed them, not as just historical realities, but she believed them for herself personally, that this child was not just the one that was born from her womb and therefore has this natural affection and joy having a child come forth from her, but this child was the Christ, the Lord, the Savior. And though it is very early in Jesus' life, and though Mary would have to learn things, nevertheless, we have every reason to believe that when she kept and pondered these things in her heart, she did so in faith, knowing that ultimately this Christ, promised by God to the church for hundreds of years, was her King, her Messiah, her Lord, and her Savior. And that's the way in which we ponder the birth of Jesus in this week. We don't think just about the historical reality that Jesus was born, but we ponder in faith, which is to say, we ponder by meditating upon this truth, that this Jesus Christ came to this earth for me. He came in this humility, in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, to demonstrate by His very birth that He came with sin and guilt upon Him, and that in His birth He showed that He was going to a cross to die, and that He did that for me. As we ponder in this Christmas season the birth of Jesus individually, we do it in faith, knowing that this Christ took our place in coming in humility with sin and guilt upon them. And in pondering by faith, the Holy Spirit works through that so that we are strengthened in that faith, so that we are led to appropriate anew the blessings that Jesus Christ has earned for us through His birth, through His life, and ultimately through His death. So that in pondering the birth of Jesus and keeping these things in our hearts by the work of the Spirit, we are given by that Spirit joy, the greatest joy in all of the earth. That the Christ has been born and He is my Lord and Savior. So that we are granted peace, the greatest peace that could ever be given, the peace between God and men. Because Jesus tore down the wall of sin and reconciled us to God. And we are led by pondering the birth of Jesus to do what the angels in heaven did. In light of all of these things, who He is and what He has accomplished for us, all by the grace of God, we are led to say with those angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. In this week, beloved, keep in your hearts the things of Jesus' birth. Keep them by pondering them. And may the Spirit work through that to the strengthening of our faith and to the glory of His name. Amen. Father in heaven, bless us in this week to come, we pray, as we anticipate coming together next Sunday on Christmas morning to worship Thy name. We thank Thee for Thy word as we read it concerning what Mary did as she kept and pondered in her heart the things of Jesus' birth. We pray that we might do the same and grant unto us the fruit of that, which is joy and peace. And may we be led all the more, as we have done tonight in our worship, to glorify and praise Thy name as God. Dismiss us tonight with Thy blessing and go with us in this week to come, for Jesus' sake. Amen.